Welcome to LeagueCast.
Blinded by the shadow of your life path. Headshot.
Let's go. For
welcome to the League of
Hello and welcome to episode 455 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the Key Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Hey, man. Happy Wednesday.
It's another Wednesday in the books. So before we get into the show, we've got some new patrons, we've got a new plays video, some Samurizing news, we got two stories, is that right? Yeah, two stories. We got some LCS discussions, including a little bit of roster rumors, and we're going to wrap up Worlds roundtable and then close it out with some emails. But before we get into that, Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. Didn't play like a ton of League outside of duoing with you.
No, I was gonna say that's not true.
but outside of that, like, haven't played like a ton of the game. Turns out if you play like a bunch of like shitty quality solo queue games, you don't really want to play the game outside of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it drains the shit out of you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second because got some news, I suppose.
I don't think I really have done much else outside of that. I did get my call back from my job that I was working. Ooh. the contract one. They said, mm-hmm. Hey, we have more hours. You want more hours? And I said, yes, please. Nice. So I'll have some work next week, which is POG.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. What about you, Colton?
Yeah, so I've also been playing a lot of solo queue these last few days before the end of season. Popped up into D2, got up to like 40 points, and then dipped all the way back down to D3, 20 points. Currently sitting in series back to D2. So I'm gonna keep playing, try and make that push. I think at least with how things have been going and how I've been playing, I can probably get D1 by the end of the season, but not that it matters at all. But you know, gotta do it for the pride. So I can not be a D4 guy. Outside of that, I really haven't been playing any other video games because I've been dedicating all of my video gaming time to solo queue. Still been playing a lot of Zillion. If not Zillion, been like doing a little bit of mid lane as well. But yeah, that's about my whole week. I'm going to be moving to a new office here at my job this Friday, so just 2 days from now. So my commute is going from like 20 to 45 minutes, depending on traffic, to probably about 5 minutes.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it's literally just on the other side of the highway. Like, in actual distance, it's under a mile. Unfortunately, because it's Texas highways, there's like literally no way to walk it. Without just being on the highway the whole time.
Which is illegal.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, maybe I'll just try and bike it and pretend that my bike's a car and say vroom vroom when I turn. but, yeah, that's my week. Nick, how are you doing? I've heard bits and pieces, but tell all the listeners, how's the Nick Cooper life?
So it was great at the start of the week. Aiden and I were making a bunch of progress. I was climbing really well, playing really well. I still feel like I'm playing extremely well. And then the old matchmaking special got given to us. I don't recall a game, more than a handful of games that Aiden and I didn't encounter at least one Smurf, sometimes three. And just like some of the lowest quality games that I've ever played in my entire life across any game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is like been the case for 10 years and I was blissfully unaware of it, or if something changed this season. But matchmaking is horrendous and it is easily ruining, what would be a fun season for me. I think the meta is really fun. I think the characters that are strong are really fun with the exception of like a couple. And that's fine. That's what bans are for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a real shame. I demoted down to plat 3 today, after going, let's take a look. Cause I want to get the real numbers out here.
Last night you went 0-5. So
yeah, last night I went 0-5. I played, pretty well last night, to be honest. And then demoted today off of a 19-5-10 game on Samira. So the game should not have been lost, but hey, and that's what happens when you coin flip the 2000 game hard stuck Nunu.
Yeah, trick. And on average, like, I was, while you guys were playing last night, I was also playing solo games, and like, you kept linking me your op.ggs of your games, and it's, I would say, pretty safe to say over the last 30 games, you guys have averaged like plus like 5% win rates on opposing teams and like plus a division and a half.
Yeah.
Like, if you take all of the, like, 51%, then they've got, like, 1-2 Smurfs. Like, it's insane that on average over that many games, the enemy team can have higher rank by, like, a division, division and a half every fucking time. It was insane.
Yeah, it was insane.
Go ahead. The saddest game for me last night was, so we finally get in the game, and, like, we have an insane comp. Our comp's fucking nutty buddy, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then we get in, and their top laner is a 75% win rate player who hasn't played for 3 months. Like, obviously, he's been playing on his main or whatever, and then he like, started playing literally this game. And he picks GP, which is Shen's hardest matchup. I was playing top. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. I'll just concede stuff to him. So their 75% win rate player ended the game 0-0-1. I ended the game 2-0-3, and Nick ended the game 1-0-4, and we got crushed.
Yep, that was an 18-minute game, I think.
22 minutes, yeah. Like, it's super short. So yep. Nick and I's combined score was, what, 3-0-7? And their fucking hard Smurf, who I had to, like, give up so much shit to, ended the game 0-0-1. And it just doesn't matter, man. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, so at that, it's probably dimmed for me. I'll keep playing it out, but I'm not going to, like, go super hard for it. It's just a real shame that this has happened. I'm kind of glad that both of you participated a little bit in my attempt to get back, because I really don't like complaining about matchmaking and teammates, but I'll be damned if it was my fault I didn't get back to Diamond this season. So yeah.
And like, again, as me being on the other end of it, but like, holy shit. Was I in fucking platinum for a long time? And then and then what happened? Like, boom, instantly up to D2. Like, the timing between me getting out of plat and hitting D2, I think, was a week and a half. Like, if that's not a fuck, I mean, it's obviously that's anecdotal, but like, holy shit, if that's not evidence for how much of a shit show that Elo is. It's like a complete coin toss that my win rate is so much better in Diamond 3 than it was in Platinum 3.
Yeah, so I'm currently sitting on 23 games played on Samira. I've been trying to play her as much as I can. Currently at a 4.7 KD and only a 52% win rate. So if that, I hope that gives everyone a good picture of what mid to low plat is, and how much fun this season has been towards the end.
Dude, Nick, I'm telling you, we'll play Senazillion, win every game.
Sure, I'm down to try whatever at this point.
Yeah.
Nick just has to play nonstop until the season's over, and if someone's there to play with him, sure. Hell yeah.
Hey, that's great. That's going to be great for me. But
I'm
like,
gonna call your work and say I'm your doctor, and you can't come into work for the next 3 days.
So, like, I played a bunch with Colton. We got Smurfs and lost. Played a bunch with Aiden. Got, like, actually made some progress. Oh, got Smurfs and lost four games in a row. You didn't play the fifth one.
Yeah.
Played some with Trevor. Oh, have the fucking worst teammates of all time. Like, we don't pick against the duo Q Smurf. So, yeah. I'm not sure what else I could have done this season.
You should have played with Salvo and Quinn.
You know, there being, like, a Smurf isn't, like, a big deal. Because, like, in theory, like, we've seen, like, Smurf Q, it has been working overall, right? If there's enough Smurfs queuing, it puts them in a Smurf queue, right? That being said, it's annoying when they have a, like, 80% win rate Smurf, and then they also have a duo Q Smurf, like, doubled.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, like, tilts me, is when they have, like, the triple. Like, not only do they have, like, two people duoing who are also Smurfing, but they also just get another Smurf. Like, it's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, you have a team where, let's say, like, there's four plat threes on, or, like, okay, there's three plat threes on both teams, and then they've got, like, a plat one and a plat two, and then you've got, like, a plat four and a gold one. You're like, that's a little strange that maybe one of those wasn't swapped so that these were even.
Well, like, I mean, Aiden, were you in the game where there were four diamonds on the other team
I'm literally posting like, okay. look at this. That's different. Like, but like, look at this like game that we just played like last night. Like,
why did that game go through?
Yeah, but we had a game last night, Colton, where like our team was five platinum players, and enemy team was four diamonds and one plat.
Mm-hmm. They were on average two divisions higher than us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
our MMR was plat two. So
wild.
It's unlucky. What can I do? Flip a coin, you know, 300 times and expect it to get heads 50%.
What you need to do, Nick, is you need to go to the store and purchase 100 KDA orbs, and then you'll get put into the priority queue with good teammates.
Oh, okay, that's the problem. I haven't spent enough money on this game. Okay.
Do you remember that guy in that ARAM like a long time ago? It was like a tangent. We had this guy in this ARAM. I think we might have talked about it on the podcast, where he was blaming Riot for him losing the ARAM because we spent more money on the game, and therefore Riot made our abilities do more damage to him and less to his teammates that spent money.
Mm-hmm. Like, because he had spent less money insanity. On the game, he just had a damage amp on himself.
Like, and he, I like talked to him after the game. He was 100% serious. He was not joking.
That's fucking funny. So yeah, I don't want to harp on that too much. I do think that like the game state is in a really good spot, minus the game ending at 23 minutes if you fall behind in Dragons. But otherwise, it's super fun. So I'll keep playing. Maybe there's a fucking snowball's chance in hell that I get there, but that's okay. I'll be back next season.
Hell yeah.
So let's get on with the show. It is a new month. So special shout out to Secretly a Josh and Levi, our newest patrons, but also shout out to Aaron. Oh boy. Aaron. they're rising up. Aaron's rise up. Adam, Dorky Owl, and Annie, Antonio, Aodin, Ashley, Asmo, Atsuko, Banyumi, Benjamin, Big Peen, Sheen, Blooper, Boats and Bros, Bright Equinox, Brother Dust, Caleb, CB Parker, Chaz, Chris, Coca-Cola, Corey, Courtney, Cowboy, Dan, Daniel, Danny Stormit, Dante Boy, Dapper Dodge, David, Dessa, Devin, Dominic, Dr. Dre, Dr. Professor Gubert, Dragon Jesus, Stream Villain J, Dylan, Elliot, Inebriated Otter, Fiery, Foxloaf, Franco, Frozen Ninja, Gamer Wolf, Grey White, H Fire, Howling Wind, IM3Dski, Isaac, It's In My Veins, Jake, Jamal, Jeff, JFK's Quickscope, Jig, John. All right, boys, ready? Josh, but not a Josh. Josh, 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 Joshua, Josh, Joshua, Josh, Joshua, 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 Justin, Carson, Chaos Reaper, Keegan, Kennedy, Kiptario, Kirk, Climber, Klon, Amy, Lacona, Levi, Liam, Lil Barnabas, Lilorian, Lofi, Luis, Marshall, Matt, Matthew, Michael, Misa, Mitchell, Mkifius, Molly, Mr. Ginger, Mr. Turch, Mountain Drew, Nathan, Nikoj, Nicholas, Niku, because it's meat in Japanese, Noah, Orden, Pards, Purple Play Panda, Randy, Raphael, Rattlesnake, Jake, Rebecca, Red Lefty, Ricardo, RJ, Ryan, Scarecrow Jones, Scott, Secretly a Josh, Selfius, Shralpy, Dinar, Sodafish, Spartle, Speedy Spikes, Stew, T Hubs, Tanner, The Last Samurai, Toon, Ty, Victor, Wyatt, Zach, and Zachary. For your support.
You did it, Nick.
It's getting harder every month, boys. Awesome. So let's get into the news. Aiden, we got a new plays video, if I'm not mistaken.
We sure do.
You know who spotlights in the beginning?
The Allowy.
Allowy.
It is a funny Allowy play, though, man. Yeah. Just like, it does nothing to the Allowy, but the fucking Galio just ease and
if he just walks out, he lives.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's a good play, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun plays video to put up. Hope you guys enjoy it. It's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/leaguecast. You should check it out. It's also on our Discord in our Sigus Plays NA section. So you guys should check that out. As for other Leaguecast news, our Patreon episode has been recorded. It's up on our Patreon already. We do the first half of the K's. That goes live on our YouTube channel for non-patrons and on our Patreon for non-patrons on the 14th. We'll probably record the second half of the K's probably next week, I would assume. Yeah. And join our Discord. Our Discord's popping.
Yeah. Awesome. So in Samurai Rising news, Aiden, you're going to be casting the Trinity Force Extra Life Tournament this Saturday, November 7th from 2 to 5 Eastern.
Yeah, so Trinity Force in the past like has done a Extra Life. People who don't know what Extra Life is, it's like kind of like a charity event where people raise money for various charities and stuff. They've done it for like a past couple of years. They took like a year off while they were like changing like posts and stuff like that. But they're coming back to it, and I think it's just a really, really good cause. So I'm going to be helping out during their 24-hour live stream from 2 to 5 EST on November 7th. I'll be posting the link in our Discord and everything when I'm actually on. It's just a really, really good cause. I'm happy to help people out when they're putting stuff like this on. So if you want to check them out, I'll probably be on their Twitch, which I believe is T-Force Podcast, twitch.tv/T-Force Podcast. All of our information will be on our Discord, though. It's good to help out another podcast with their cause, though.
Yeah, we love Essence Reaver Podcast.
Sweet. You know what else we love? The Ruined King teaser, a single-player turn-based game. Right?
That's what I've heard.
And it looks super sick. Looks super sick.
Dude, the fucking whole squad coming together, just lining up.
Yeah. So do we have...
I love cinematics. Right, cinematics.
The cinematic looks so good. Do we have a comparison for like what kind of game it's going to be like?
We just know that like the people who make it do single player like turn-based games. So that's kind of what we're thinking, at least. I believe they also said that's definitely turn-based. Who knows if it's for a single player or not, but gotcha. It looks sick, though. I'm really excited. It also confirms the fact that the Rune King will be the next character, well, not the next character, a character in League of Legends next year, because Riot said that they're releasing a lore-based character next split, and in their like dev blog where they showed that, they showed this icon. They showed like a ring version of this icon, which is like on his sword. So we're almost 100% getting the Rune King as a character sometime next year, which is super exciting.
That almost looks like, what's the card in Runeterra that does like half of your opponent's?
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah,
fucking Liedros, something like that.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of looks like his weapon. Pretty sick.
Yeah.
Very exciting. The teaser was so sick. Imagine being like Braum and you have a big ass shield, but you just punch the fuck out of a cannonball instead.
So predictions right now. Do we think the Rune King character will get a benefit for building the Blade of the Rune King?
No.
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 I think no as well. Yeah. I think if anything, they'll make him so he can't build it.
Ooh, okay.
I think that's more likely than him getting a benefit for building it.
I would think what it probably is going to be is that he's got some kind of pass that deals like current health.
Yeah.
Mm. Like he's just going to naturally have something similar in that vein.
In our Discord, in our live chat, Drive Forward said, yes, but it's the only item he can build.
Six Blade of the Rune Kings. Sweet. So that's kind of all the news. So let's get on with the starries. We have one from Travis who said five out of five stars, 5 out of 5 star podcast. Nice pants. Thank you.
Yeah. Next you, Travis. Review here, 5 out of 5 stars. It says, vote. Great podcast full of quality dudes who care about humanity and value sciences and the environment. If your listeners feel the same, please get out and vote. A little late, but very true sentiment. This one's from Joe B. Do you guys think the vice president, potential future president Joe Biden, listens to the podcast?
So no, but holy fuck, would that be the
how funny
thing?
Would that be? That was their campaign. God. Their campaign is going to League of Legends podcast and making comments for them to read on their show.
That would be so
by reading them 5 stars.
If I hadn't already voted for him, I would go back and do it again. If he's just trolling in the podcast, like joining every Discord, get out there and vote, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's sick. Cool.
Pretty funny.
We are skipping bi-weekly this week. Just like might be like a short, a little shorter of an episode. Last week went pretty long, so did the week before. So we're gonna skip that this week.
You mean guaranteed
next week
guffaws.
Or the week after? Yeah, next week or the week after, though, we're going to be talking about either the removal of role select and ranked. I wanted to talk about that as a potential discussion point. I know a lot of people are against that, but I think it might do good for us. Power creep in League of Legends, which I think we all have opinions on, or we're going to do a series on how to play like certain lanes and like go through each lane each week sort of thing.
And eventually Seraphine.
Yeah, eventually Seraphine at some point, yeah.
Yeah, because we've not talked about her yet.
You mean Sona too?
Did we do Samira?
We did do Samira, yeah.
Okay. I played a game today versus Samira Sona bot, or Seraphine Sona bot lane. Holy fuck, boys. That was a lot of shielding and healing.
Yeah.
It was so difficult to deal with.
Did they also have a Lux mid and like a Nidalee jungle?
No, they actually had a great... So I played Sylas mid that game and fucking stomped the Graves mid that I played against. But they should. They should have. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Let's talk about the LCS, boys. I guess. Competitive, yeah. Congratulations to Damwon Gaming for taking the World Finals 3-1 in games that didn't seem terribly close, but also close at the same time.
Like, okay, 1 and 2, I feel like, were... Mm-hmm. Decently close in that game. One was like Damwon had the lead the entire game, but Suning kept making it work and stalling and like getting these miracle team fights back to back to back, which like at a certain point, if you can get the miracle team fight 4 out of 5 times, are you maybe the better team? Who knows?
I would say like the way I would describe it, Colton, is that the games weren't that close, but they were the closest final games we've had in years.
That's sort of how I feel is like they didn't feel close. It always felt like Damwon was going to win, but just maybe not that particular game, I suppose.
Yeah.
And like, I think 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 were very different looks. Cause like,
absolutely.
Game 2 is where we got Bin on Fiora, got the pentakill. They it was the one game they won. And then games 3 and 4.
It was the first Penta in Finals history?
Yeah, the first World's Final Penta. And then games 3 and 4, him and SOFM kind of got dicked. Like,
Did you see SOFM's build every game? Like, did you see the thing I posted?
until that game, right?
Look, World's build set for SOFM.
Yeah.
That's not even memes, dude. That's not even a meme.
No, it's not.
It's funny.
The way you played that Rengar game with that build was crazy.
Yeah, it's actually sick. I think that is a good way to play Rengar,
to be
honest.
I was so hyped when I saw the Rengar pick. Holy shit.
Yeah. Is that the first Rengar of Worlds?
I believe since Dandy.
Wow.
I think that's the first Rengar we've seen at Worlds since Dandy.
We definitely did. I don't think we definitely saw any other people play Rengar at the tournament. Yeah, he's the only Rengar pick. That's crazy.
That's crazy. And I got picked in the finals. Yeah. Was that the game they ended up winning?
They won that game. Yeah.
Okay, they won that game, yeah.
That was also the second Fiora pick at Worlds, too. Or at this Worlds, and they won with that game, so.
Sweet. So, congrats to Damwon. They played so fucking well throughout the tournament. I think, I do think we saw the best teams. I'll give it to Suning. I do think we saw the best teams in the world, in the finals.
Yeah, I agree.
So, pretty awesome. Fun series to watch if you haven't. Please do. Cool. Next up is T1 Pult and LS Rumors.
Did you see this, Colton, at all or no?
No, I hadn't seen anything about this.
So it was leaked on Effort's stream, a message from their GM that to like welcome their new coaches, their head coach Pult, as you know, as like the StarCraft pro now recently turned TFT streamer god. As their head coach, and LS as their other coach.
Oh my, okay, I did not expect that. Just like,
yeah. I don't think anyone did.
Like, okay, because for someone who just, like, watches Pult's stream, like, he, like, fairly recently moved to a new place and has been, I think dating Emily Wang, who's another TFT streamer, slash just streamer in general, like, they got a dog, and now he's going to be a coach in Korea? Like, is he moving, or I don't know what the plan is there.
But yeah, true, it's definitely wild. Interesting. So it's one of those things, Colton, where it's like, it's hard to say that it's not real, because it's a post from their GM in their, like, team chat's Discord as, like, a welcoming message to their teammates, as, like, here's your head coaches, and it's, like, shows LS's, like, profile picture and everything. It's like everything looks so real about it. I personally could see a world in which like Polt, I definitely think like it makes sense that, well, it doesn't make sense like necessarily that Polt's the head coach. They're both also, there's tons of like backlash for both of these people. One, because Polt obviously doesn't play League of Legends. He was a StarCraft pro, really, really good TFT player. That being said, I do think like he has enough respect in like Korea from like players and stuff that like he could be a head coach. He won't be doing like picks bans. By the way, head coach in like Korea, by the way, is more of like a like
it's kind of like directing your players kind of thing.
Yeah, where, like, not really
when
when
we were talking about Bjergsen, about how just because he's a good player doesn't necessarily mean he's a good coach, is like, this is what we're talking about, is that the coach has a lot of roles that have literally nothing to do with League of Legends specifically. Mm-hmm.
Directing players and stuff like that. Yeah, you have to like be able to like have, you can't just like have a 17-year-old kid be coach, right? Like no one would respect him, right? Whereas like someone like Polt, I do think can get like respected players and stuff like that. That being said, LS I do think is a very interesting one, because I think LS is a really, really smart guy. I personally I'm of the mindset that if this wasn't leaked, I think they would have signed LS as a streamer in quotes and had him be the coach behind the scenes, personally.
Or like a consultant or something?
Yeah. I just think that like LS has said multiple times that like let's be real. He's like, his current streaming career, casting, all doing all this stuff is really, really lucrative. The guy gets to do whatever he wants, like create any content that he wants. And he's kind of rolling at it like cash wise. Like he's super, super popular on Twitch. His like co-streams are the most popular at any like league partner program person. He's still a caster for like the best league in the world. Like it seems weird for him to leave all that to coach a team that he obviously can't do like co-streams. He can't be talking to like Fnatic players and coaching them and stuff like that on the side, right? He can't be probably casting LCK when he coaches T1, right? That being said, I do think it's not fake, because I could see someone like him realizing the prestige of joining a team like team, I almost said Tyler 1, that's crazy. Joining a team like T1, and like what it holds, right? Like that is like the dream if you want to become a coach, right? You want to coach like this prestigious roster, right? Mm-hmm.
I think, right, yeah. Historically, T1 has been the like most winningest organization. They have the most world titles. I think that they have been in the LCK finals, or the, you know, when it was champions or whatever, mm-hmm. like they're, if not the most finals, like at least in top three, like they're very much in the contention for just clear, hey, this is like the most prestigious team in Korea. So yeah, I mean, getting to be a part of that is something that I would not be surprised for him to jump at that opportunity. And he's always got the option, I think, if for whatever reason it doesn't work out or he doesn't like it, where he could jump back to being like, hey, I'm an independent person doing co-streams, analysis, whatever it is that I want, like making my own content.
I really hope he doesn't get shit for it, is like the reality. Like, I mean, he's already gotten like a ton of shit for it. The Korean community doesn't like him in general, mainly due to the drama with him defending Malice, the player on BBQ when he was the coach of that team, who was like, was super toxic and kind of racist in solo queue and stuff. He wasn't really even defending him. He was more saying like, it's gross how much like of witch hunts there are when like people attack other people. That was kind of like his defense.
Yeah, and I think there's also some like hate on him for like cheating scandal back when he was in StarCraft.
But he was 14, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which like, again, I think at this point, like fucking drop it, but in general, like general sentiment, as well as like the Reddit bandwagon, like mm-hmm. people are going to jump down his throat for shit he did when he was 14. Like, and while I think it's a valid complaint you could make about someone, I think at this point he's more than, you know, worked it off, and like he has made a name for himself completely aside from that.
Yeah, I just like think no matter what, like, he shouldn't get shit for any of this, like, regardless, because holy fuck, man, the guy could have just, like, kept doing his own co-streams, like, casting, whatever, making bank, but the guy decided to take, like, one of the fucking biggest leaps I've seen that has almost fucking no upside other than, like, dude, if fucking SKT doesn't make semis, at least at Worlds, it's a failure, You know what I mean? Yep. Like, that's like, if they make worlds, if they don't make worlds, obviously a failure, right? If they don't like place first in LCK, obviously a failure. If they don't get out of groups group stage or like whatever the fuck you want to call it, failure. If they don't make it out of quarters, I think it's a failure for the org. Like, I don't think like this is a like join the org and you're mm-hmm. You're laughing about it. You know what I mean? I think this is like there's very few upsides for him other than the fact that like, if he wanted to be a coach, this is like the best opportunity in the world to be a coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think
takes fucking balls.
I think it speaks to his personality I think you can tell like he wants to be the best and he thinks he's right all the time. And like, I find that rubs me the wrong way sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. I am a fan of him and I think that he is a great League of Legends mind. I think he's a little too sure he's right about everything all the time. That being said, like, he's right about the game more than I am and more than 99.9% of people. And that it's clear that in his mind, like, yes, I want to join one of the best teams with some of the best players and we're going to win Worlds because I have the capability to do it and I want to challenge myself. And I like that speaks to me about like his aspiration that, yeah, I could sit here and collect money, but like, I want more. And I hope he succeeds. But I agree with you that like for SKT particularly, like the bar is immensely further for them than anyone else. Where if G2 makes it to semifinals at Worlds, that's a good run. Like, wow, they made it to semis. Where like you're saying, like if SKT goes out in semis, you're like, it's kind of a bad run this year. Like, you know. If they don't win Worlds, it's not the norm because they've won every Worlds they've attended. Yeah,
They lost to Samsung
they've won three Crown. Of the four Worlds they've attended.
Yeah, I don't know. It's actually insane to me. Also, I do think it's funny when like the general like sentiment you'll find like online is like, how the fuck will someone like LS coach someone like Faker, as if like they don't talk to Faker to like hire people. Like I guarantee you, dude, any fucking hire on SKT goes by Faker. I guarantee it. You know what I mean? It's not like they're like, hey, mm-hmm. Faker, we got you your new coach.
Because like there's I'm sure, and like there's an existing relationship between them already, guaranteed. Like it's not necessarily like a long deep storied relationship, but like there's not a chance in the world that Faker and Faker and LS have not had conversations in the past, about the game, you know, talking scrims. And I was like, he's been in the Korean scene and around that for too long. And like, especially being independent for the last couple of years, it's like he's talking with everyone and knows everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, he's there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's a really smart guy. I think like there's a million situations in which this doesn't work out well for them, but I respect the decision either way. I think it's super, super cool. So, some of the biggest League news we've heard in a long time, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. sweet. So then we can talk about General Sniper.
Now, General Sniper was signed to Cloud9, Colton.
We need to compare which one's cuter, Polt or LS, and the answer is Polt.
I like Polt a lot. Do you know who General Sniper is, Colton?
No clue.
It's Viper's younger brother. He's like 13 and he's like high challenge or whatever.
He's really fucking good at Riven.
He's fucking insane at the game. Dude, the guy's so good. He played on Tyler 1's team in Rift Rivals and he like one lane every single game versus like really good challenger players. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Cloud9 signed him as a streamer, and then 2 hours later they let him go because you're not allowed to sign streamers who are like, you're not allowed to sign people to your roster who are under 15. And it's crazy to me that how they didn't fucking know that.
Yeah, you can't have a contract with someone who's under 15. So.
Yeah,
that's so wild.
Isn't that insane that they didn't know that though? That's wild.
How does it get to the point where you sign somebody, like when you sign official documents, you put your date of birth on them in a lot of cases.
Well, they know he's 13.
They signed him, and they're like, "Oh, this is cool." And the Riot was like, "Hey, you can't do that."
I mean, I would imagine it was an oversight that they didn't know that was in place, or they thought that it only applied to like team members. Like, hey, you can't have him on your roster. And they're like, "No, it also applies to streamers."
But it's kind of crazy that they didn't go through lawyers at all.
It's like, so, it's so crazy to me. It's not like it's some like random ass roster. It's fucking Cloud9.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And it's not a huge deal, but it's just kind of like really interesting that that happened.
Either way, it's super awesome to see like people taking interest in like people like him, because he's obviously like a super talented player, right? Like he was 1300 points challenger last year or something like that. I remember that was like the first time I heard about him, because like he hit challenger for the first time and then climbed to like 1000 plus points, and people like, oh really shit, good. That's Viper's brother. He's actually insane at the game.
Yep. Cool. So that's kind of it for competitive league talk. Nice. Let's do the roundtable.
Yeah, we'll hop into roundtable. So last week's question was, if Riot starts selling announcer packs for League of Legends, what would you like to see? Malte on Facebook said, I'd choose an Unreal 2004 announcer pack in a heartbeat. Whoa. Trying to reach that glorious monster kill would be an incentive that I'd finally stop throwing away my bounty gold playing overly aggressive. Noah said, an Aiden voice pack. you have been slain equals, wow, that champion is dog shit. Ryan said, I'd like to see some champion announcer packs. Like Riot would get my whole wallet for a Jhin announcer pack. Getting a quadra kill in the game just yells four at you. Randy
it's just
said,
silent
I need
when
a great
kill comes up. you're like,
Yeah, you get a penta dude, he doesn't say anything. It's funny. You
fucked it up.
Yeah. And Randy said, I need a Dracos and Froskieren announcer packs as well. I think Caster announcer packs is like a fucking no brainer as well for them, but. Cool.
Champion and announcer caster pack or caster announcer pack should just be it.
Yeah. Cool. From our Twitter at Vesper Kai said, honestly, I'd love it if they did it just for all champions. However, I'd be able to set it to different legendary / ultimate skin variations, such as Ahri / Star Guardian Ahri, like they've done before. It'd also be sweet if you could pick different packs based on regions in Runeterra, and maybe have a few different champions from those regions have lines. And that'd be really cool if we had like a Frelly Road one.
I mean, it's got to be Bilgewater, right?
Yeah, Bilgewater is so cool. L. Danford said, bring back Gangplank from the Burning Tides event. It's crazy that's just not in the game as like an option.
that asset is there.
I think this is
and they could sell it for $10 and they could make like $10 million in a week.
I can't wait for that fucking Reddit thread though. They're making us pay for something that was free.
Yeah. Sorry. S13G or CG have been thinking about this question while listening to the episode of the podcast. I think the most obvious answer has to be Draven. No matter what you do around the map, he'll condescendingly tell you how he'd do it much better the entire game, adding a whole new level of tilt.
Draven would be a good one, yeah.
Yeah, and then from our Discord, Fable said, "Jinx, jinx, 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 jinx." I would pay for that so hard. Pards Bay said, "Honestly, I'd love to see a super hype Korean caster thing. I don't even need to understand what they're saying. Just give me some shouting people." And then Misa said, "Sona Pog game announcements is just random notes."
So based on what Pards is saying, that's one of the rewards for the like battle pass in Dota is you just get some of the most famous lines. And you can just spam it in chat.
Yeah.
We'd be able to get like, I never doubted them. And other memorable non-Kobe phrases that I can't remember.
Like,
yeah.
This week's roundtable question though is, finish the sentence. I love League of Legends, but this is the one that, Vidog, sent us an email that we did like 2 or 3 years ago sort of thing. Nice. But, is my question that I made up, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to do it again. So finish the sentence. I love League of Legends, but...
Not its players.
I love League of Legends, but there is absolutely no excuse for the level of matchmaking that they currently have in the game.
I love League of Legends, but not its players.
That's fair.
Yeah. So mine would be, I love League of Legends, but... Healing champions need to go away. I finally narrowed down what I hate about League, Colton. Every single character that I hate the most is a non-enchanter that heals. I don't mind Soraka healing. I don't mind Yumi healing. I don't mind whatever healing. Colton, I hate Aatrox healing. I hate Sylas healing. I hate Irelia healing. I hate... all those things drive me fucking bananas.
It's pretty wild how much healing is in the game. And like... I think the issue with it is that, like, they put in these characters that they want to have a level of survivability, and it's like, okay, you can do that in a couple ways. You can give them healing, you can give them shields, but then they don't have the sustain, which people are going to cry about, or you can give them damage reduction. And, like, damage reduction is already fucked enough as is, even though Irelia has both. But, like, if you give them damage reduction, people are going to cry about it. If you give them shielding, the people who are playing them are going to cry about it. Because it's like, well, yeah, I get these shields, but I can never actually sustain. And, like, they just wait it out. Like, I think it honestly goes to, like, the structure of tanks is a little bit broken. And I think that that's, if they wanted to fix it, they would probably have to go about making tanks significantly tankier on their own and with their abilities, so that then they could also up these bruisers and then start taking these things away, right? Because, like, if all of the bruisers, let's say, just got, like, plus 1,000 base health, and all of the tanks got, like, plus 2,000 base health, and then you adjusted AD carry damage accordingly, I think you could take away a lot of that healing, but, like, that's so many changes to actually balance that. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's ultimately the problem, is that, like, to have these idea of, like, a bruiser, it's either, like, okay, well, they need to have damage and tankiness, and since you don't want to give them the actual raw tank stats, you just give them insane healing. So they effectively have, like, 1,000 more health because Aatrox Qs twice and gets 1,000 health back.
Basically.
But yeah, anyway, I want to change my answer. I love League of Legends, but where Giraffe?
Where is the Giraffe?
Where's the Giraffe?
I don't think they're ever going to make a Giraffe character, guys.
No, they're too scared.
They're too scared. They're too scared. Riot Games doesn't have the balls to put out a Giraffe character.
Yeah.
Riot Games doesn't care about Giraffe champions. I'll say it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Cool. If they want to send in their answers,
they can hit us up on our Facebook page or Twitter at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That is leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord.
Pog, we're chugging right along into mail fight. First, the email's from Diana. Says, hey, so my friends and I were playing a game, and my friends decided to mess around bot lane and took Shen, AD carry, and Pantheon support. Naturally, I told them that they were going to hard feed. Well, I ate my words real fast when Shen got first blood and proceeded to hard carry. Thought it was hilarious and would love to hear your thoughts on why this works so well. Was it just because it's low elo and everyone sucks, or is it actually good? Love the show. Helps me get through my workday. Thanks, guys. Diana.
Yes.
Shen does a shit ton of damage.
Yeah,
it's a little column A, a little column B. Shen does a lot of damage. Pantheon's a really good support right now.
Mm-hmm.
Low elo players don't know how to play against them.
There's a lot going for a Shen Pantheon lane, and with low elo, it deletes pretty much all of the problems with it, right? Because the biggest problems are that it's double melee, right? So they should be able to get poked down pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you look into the pros, it's like, okay, well, you're gonna have a point-and-click stun into a guaranteed taunt, and Shen's going to get his 3 autos off for a billion damage. But wait, there's more. Because we've got Shen W to block all incoming auto attacks. But wait, there's more. Because Pantheon E is going to block all incoming damage. Like, they could tower dive you, get hit by the tower 6 times without taking any damage.
Yeah.
And then they also have 2 globals, just in case that wasn't enough, where they could, like, just gank mid out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly.
It's... again, I wouldn't probably try and play it at high elo, but for joking around in normals, absolutely you could stomp people. And once you get ahead with this, again, you're just going to tower dive over and over and over, and they're never going to be able to stop you unless they have 4 people. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cool. Thanks, Diana, and good luck with your friends with that, with that combo.
It must be nice having friends. Next email's from Jake. He says, hello, LeagueCast. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Hope you all are doing well. I wanted to get your input on a simple yet desired change I would like to see to League's honor system. There are plenty of times where I get on the Rift and end up liking the enemy team much more than my own. Dance parties in the top lane. That's where I think Riot could adopt the feature like in Overwatch, where you could give an opposing player an honor if they stood out. Not sure if Riot has had this feature in the past and removed it because it wasn't being used or not, but I'd like your input on this idea. Keep up the good content. Your podcast helps me work helps me through my workday, and sorry but not sorry about this somewhat long email. Okay, so he's new really to the funny. Game because it has existed, but it comes off so genuine, and that I don't think he's memeing about this.
I don't think so either.
So it did exist. You could honor your opponents, and for a while that was the only way you couldn't honor allies at first, right? You could only honor opponents.
You could honor both. You could either honor allies or opponents in post-game lobby. Yeah,
because you would get
Oh, yeah, it was different. You could give them different honors, and one of them was being an honorable opponent.
Yeah.
And you got, like, different crests for being, like, a shot caller or an honorable opponent or whatever.
Yeah.
The problem originally was the fact that people would only honor opponents when they fed their dicks off, and it was, like, a joke, like, yeah, thanks for fucking winning me the game.
Five honors for the 0-10 Katarina. Thanks for the win.
I think it's fine, though. I think you should still have the honor screen, which pops up for your allies only. And then I think in post-game lobby, I think you should be able to honor an enemy. I think that's fine. I just don't think it should be incentivized as, like, fuck my team, I'm honoring the enemy.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it as well.
I actually like the honor system. I don't think it does much for, like, the game. I mean, people complain, but honor words suck, but it's not supposed to... be like, I'm honorable, so I get free shit. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a good person, not a shitty person.
I would love. So to I think see they should like,
yeah.
For
I just think they should.
In
I just think they should keep it so it's like focused on like honoring your teammates. Though I think having a positive experience like that is way more important than honoring enemies. But I do think there are times where you go, fuck, that guy played really well. I should honor him. Like, and that's something you should do after you like think about honoring your teammates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's nice to have some way of like. You know, extending positivity to the community like that, right? Because, like, I'm not going to, like, add an opponent and gift them a skin. Maybe if, like, they're really cool, I might add them and just be like, hey, GG. But, like, being able to honor them, again, it's a small thing, but, like, hey, maybe they'll get a skin for that, or maybe they'll get, like, an icon. And that's nice to kind of think about. I kind of wish that there was, like, again, it would have to be really small, but, like, go ahead, throw your honor level into the matchmaking formula, where it's just like, hey, if you're an honor one because you're toxic, you're more likely to play with other fucking honor one players.
You know, shitty that would be. You just say honor one forever. You'd want to just play your shitty ass team. It's,
it would be awful, but it would keep them out of my games.
True.
I meant to ask though. Fuck. Oh no, it just went away. No. Oh no. What do you say, Colton, before the honor one thing, like the matchmaking thing? Shit.
The, like, gifting somebody a skin?
Oh, yeah. Quick poll. Who has ever gifted someone a skin in post-game lobby or been gifted a skin in post-game lobby? Because there's an option, Colton. No, I've never seen anyone do that ever. Why is that an option?
Yeah, I don't know. Because they want you to spend more money. That being so said, creepy. Like, dude, if they had, like, a currency that I could buy for, like, blue essence, where it's, like, honor your opponent, and it's, like, okay, cost me, like, 50 essence to do it, and they get like 20 of it or something, or like they get like a point or like a token that goes to a store, I think that'd be dope. Like I can buy these like honors for like 100 essence each, and when I give you an honor, you get like one token for the honor store, and you can get like a ward skin or an icon, or for like 100 of them you can get like a champion. Like that'd be so sick.
That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, thanks for the email, Jake. And it did exist at one point.
Our next email is from Zachary. Hey, boys, haven't emailed in a while, but wanted to answer the roundtable. I'd love for them to do a Captain Flowers announcer pack, but not LCS Flowers, streaming Flowers, where he'll say, this Yasuo is a fucking monster right now, goes in for the Penta, shoves his sword right up where the sun don't shine. The entire team is aced, and it's bye-bye birdie for the enemy team. It could never happen because Riot would never, but imagine that, Zachary. Flowers is actually a very entertaining streamer. I watch his stream a lot. He's not quite as held back on stream. So
I'm glad his stream's doing really well. He has like 2,000 subs on Twitch. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah. He's pretty consistently at like 1,300 like viewers. That's awesome. Streams. I went back and watched I guess what started it all a while ago, but his when he and Azale the bronze like promos.
Yeah.
God, it was so fun.
Guy's funny.
Yeah.
It's quick.
Guy's funny. Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Zachary. Thanks, Zachary.
Sorry, I was scrolling. Next email is from Franco, the high-speed octopus. Hey, guys, Franco here, popping my fan mail cherry. A whole lot happened this week and just wanted to send in a quick email. First of all, I just want to say thanks for the podcast. I've been binging it at my new job, making the hours go by quickly, and subsequently giving me league fever like never before. Play two games of solo queue, and that'll die down. today, I want to talk about the BS that is the Seraphine lore rework. While, after playing against the champ and listening to more on repeat, I've hopped off the Seraphine hate train. However, I will never forget nor forgive her for abusing the Brackern race for her own self-gain. Suddenly, Merrill comes onto Twitter to say that they are reworking her lore. However, there is no doubt in my mind that this is just more dirty, pilty money paying Tryndamere off. Never forgive, never forget, justice for the Brackern. In other news, I'm super hyped for the new Rune King game. Single player? Lore-based? Turn-based RPG? Time to throw away all of my money on it. Also, to answer this week's roundtable, I was thinking about a super peaceful, untiltable bard? Sona, maybe? Seraphine Symphony? To replace the announcer pack. While I thought about this, I imagined a gentleman bard, because I think Gentleman Cho'Gath is the funniest thing to happen to League of Legends, and I think that gentleman bard would be pretty funny, as we finally get to hear the wandering caretaker get to speak his mind. I guess this is also where I apologize for the long email. So sorry for the long email, but not sorry for raising awareness for the Brackern race. I mean, I wish we could just get gentleman bard, and it's just like, fancy dude. Can we get that?
Yeah, that'd be pretty
just
good.
Just fancy dude. That being said, yeah, dude, I think we're all really hyped for Rune King. I think that there's a very good chance that it's going to be a quote Colton game, and that if I like it, I'll probably have 40 hours in it by the first week that it's out.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it's not a Colton game. But thanks for the email, and again, this is from Franco, aka High Speed Octopus.
Also, there's nothing wrong with Seraphine's lore.
I think he's more just memeing about it, like a little bit. Some people are upset about it, but they are changing it. I don't think them changing it's a big deal either. They're just like obviously like realize that people weirdly took offense to stuff. So like
people
and they say
yeah,
we're changing.
Really
it.
Upset at the fucking like 2% pick rate character.
I just think that's one of those things where like they don't want people to be upset at their new character, and now people are upset that they're changing the lore of the character that they were upset about. And in the reality, they're probably just going to change like a line or two to make it so it's like less implied, like that she knows she's using Skarner batteries.
With some of the changes, there's nothing there. Like Seraphine is aware that it's a Brackern, but the Brackern is content to be used this way to help others, like to prevent the hatred of the world from consuming itself the way that it consumed the Brackern.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Yeah. There's nothing in the lore that would suggest that she's abusing the Brackern.
I think that this is just in general the common reaction of that people just want to react strongly, and that's easier to do if it's negative. Like they want to fight back on everything, because jumping in on that negative attention circle jerk is easy, and it lets you be part of the group. And like, hey, maybe you get free stuff or like whatever, right? Like if we complain about this enough, maybe they'll give us something. It's the fucking Karen mindset, dude. It's annoying.
Cool. Thank you, Franco. Next email is from R-Man, who says, hey, League Cast crew, a friend and I were discussing new skin ideas, and I wanted to get your opinion on possibly borrowing something from Dota 2. Recently, Dota 2 came out with a skin for the anti-mage character that would completely change the gender of the hero. Oh, here we go, Aiden. I thought this was really cool and hoped League would do something similar. My friend agreed and jokingly suggested female Urgot be added. Ooh. Personally, I think it would be a cool skin line. I think there are a lot of characters where I could easily change genders and it would be an easy cash grab for them. For instance, my favorite champion is Twisted Fate, and I could easily see him being gender swapped. My friend and I also like the idea of Lucian and Senna essentially swapping costumes, weapons, and kits. However, I can understand if that particular idea would be confusing to players. What do you think? Gender-bending skins a good idea or hot garbage? Are there any champions you would like to see gender-swapped? I greatly appreciate you always reading my emails. Stay safe and keep up the great podcasting, our man.
Yeah, so Nick and I talked about this like a couple days ago, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't we talk about this on the show?
Probably at some
private
point.
Maybe it was
but, like,
private.
Nick and I definitely
maybe.
Talked about it
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, no, we did. It was a private conversation that we were just chilling in.
Yeah.
It was like yesterday or the day before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had this conversation where, like, I remember in early days of League of Legends, like season 1, season 2, season 3, seeing a lot of fan art of, like, people making gender-swapped characters. And I do think, like, then Riot could have easily made gender-swapped characters and they would have sold very, very well. I don't think Riot can make gender-swapped characters now and have them sell well without issue. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you could argue that it is making light of, like, transgendered people because you're just using, like, a gender as a costume for a character would be the mm-hmm. idea, right?
And you're also, I think that the other argument is, like, you're perpetuating the idea that there are only two genders.
Yes.
Which I think, first of all, like, jumping on to the last thing, like, people are going to complain about any change and they're going to jump in and argue about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you that I think if they'd done it from, like, the beginning or early on, there probably would have been less backlash. There would be
yeah.
more now. I think we had talked about this, like, there's not a chance in hell that they could do, like, alternate race characters.
Yeah, that's
in
that,
like, they couldn't
yeah.
make, like, a white Lucian or, like, a black Lux or, like, whatever. Like, they couldn't do that. Like, there's not a chance that they wouldn't just get overwhelming hate.
Yeah.
I think gender swap is the one they could potentially do. I think if they were to do it, they kind of probably missed their chance. One thing I want to just comment on from this specific email is, like, them swapping costumes and kits. It's like, if they were to do this, keeping the visual identity of the characters is super, super important. Like, you need to still know 100% without a doubt that what you're looking at is, you know, Lucian, is Urgot, is Gragas. Like, if they want to do it, they still need to have very unique visual identities, and I think that's the difficult part, especially, like, on non-human characters. Like, how are you going to make, like, female Twitch? Like, what's the difference between mm-hmm. regular Twitch and female Twitch?
I do
what's
think switching
between
regular
characters? Zach and female Zach.
Yeah, I do think switching between characters, like having characters with, like, different, like, character skins, I think you could do it with a very obviously different characters, right? Like, you could have a Nunu skin where it's Annie, right? Like, Nunu is, like, has, like, a fucking, like, long hair wig. Nunu. And then Willump is, like, kind of dressed up like Tibbers, you know what I mean? And I think, like, that is, like, the type of skin that you could do that's, like, a swap between characters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, it has to be, like, obvious. You could never, like, have Vayne and Caitlyn have costume swaps. Like, the visual clarity there just wouldn't be enough, both because they're, like, tiny female marksmen, right? But, like, having, like, a big jungler and a mid laner have a swap where it's kind of, like, jokey, I think would be fine, like, for clarity-wise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you could get away with some of that. If they were very distinct already, where yeah. just, yeah, I could see that. But yeah, I think that it's just, it's so hard to do it at this point. And, like, again, I don't personally think that there's a huge issue with it. Again, if they're doing it in, like, a respectful way, but I think that a lot of people would jump up and cry about it being, like, abusive or insensitive to various groups of people. And I would guess, again, hey, maybe I'm dead wrong, but, like, that it would mostly be, like, cisgendered white people crying about it, about how it's super offensive to those other people, when the other people are like, nah, this is fine.
I also could see it being, like, not, like, done properly at all, though. Like, I just feel yeah. like it's one of those things that, like, you probably just don't touch. Like, I think that mm-hmm. there's lots of ways to do it wrong and very few ways to do it right. And
no,
I think
but
that's
can we
not...
can we get a man Katarina with just, like, a dope six pack and some big old pecs? Come
yeah,
on.
I just think there's, like, too many ways to do it not tastefully, and I think there's too many issues surrounding that. I think
misfortune.
I do think you could
cool
do character
dude.
Like swaps, but I think that'd be, like, fine.
Yeah,
in, like, a fun way.
Thanks for the email, Arman.
Yeah.
Next one we've got is Climber. Hey boys, Climber here. I hope your weeks are going well. I have a few questions for you. First of all, which skins do you prefer and which skins do you think sell better between fun skins and cool skins? I like to get the skins like Obsidian Dragon set that look super cool and feel good to play. But personally, my favorite skin that I own is Bad Santa Vigar, because I love shooting presents at people with my Q and just my alt throwing a fucking sled at the enemy. So which skins do you each like better and which do you think are more successful? Second, which skills do you think are more important for pros, macro or micro? Which of these defines a good pro player? One of Faker's most infamous moments is the Zed versus Zed Ryu outplay and the incredible display of micro skill, but he's also known for being a great shot caller. Is one of these more important than the other? Lastly, how do you play against a fed carry? When the enemy has a player that's 20-4, the game is probably over, but how do you play best around that? I've seen longer emails, Climber. So first question, fun skins or like funny skins versus just cool skins?
Well, I think the answer to which one sells better, what we see more, I would say cool skins.
Yeah.
So I think cool skins have to sell better. Otherwise, yeah, we'd see more fun skins.
Yeah, like, we would see more like BMO and like Toy Soldier, Gangplank. Yeah. Like, we see them, but they're not as common, whereas we get, like, KDA skins every week.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see, Blastoise, the rioter who, like, does all the data analysis stuff.
Yeah, right, Blastoise, yeah.
I'd love to see him, like, do a thing about different characters on whether or not serious skins sell better for them or silly skins. Because I feel like it's one of those things where, like, silly skins sell better on certain characters. Like, Teemo silly skins, I bet sell way more... better than
Omega Squad.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like, and like Bimo, if you made a clown fucking Yasuo with a balloon sword, nobody'd buy it.
Compared to, well, people would buy it, but compared to like Spirit Blossom Yasuo, no way, right? Like you'd assume that that's big difference, like or there's just like characters that definitely
Ivern is a goofy character.
Yeah.
Just by default.
Imagine fucking trying to make Spirit Blossom Ivern or fucking Psyops Ivern. It's just like a serious skin. I just don't think it sells nearly as well as fucking Ivern, but he's a basketball player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see that data, but I think, the cool skins, quote, sell better, I think is pretty clear. In terms of favorite, like, I find myself tending more towards silly. Because honestly, I care a lot more about like voice lines when I'm considering, like, because I don't spend that much time like looking at my character specifically, like staring and looking at all the details. But man, if they have like a goofy fucking joke or a silly laugh sound, I'm all for it.
I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50. It depends on the character for sure.
Yeah, I like them both for sure.
Yeah.
I think the main thing for me is that, like, I do think silly skins, like, I would go out and buy a silly skin for a character that I don't play, but I would never go out and buy a serious skin for a character I wouldn't play. It's, like, my main determinant, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's another good point. It's like, yeah, I'll buy the goofy skin for fucking Fiora, even though I don't play Fiora.
Yeah.
But if they put out, like, another, like, if they put out a super cool, edgy, like, Yone skin, it's like, I don't play Yone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So second question, what do you guys think is more important for pro players, macro or micro? So obviously both of these are very important, but what are your guys' thoughts on this discussion?
I think it has to be micro. I think in general macro can be learned, while micro is something a little bit more like talent based, I suppose. Plus you can always rely on someone else to macro for you.
It's a weird question because you can't, the answer literally can't be macro, I guess.
Yeah,
because you're not a pro player, you're not a team of pro players if you're all just macro players, is like the 100% of the reality, right? Like we've seen players that have been macro players, like Hai is probably the best example in Western League of Legends of a macro player. Guy doesn't play fucking mechanical anything, right? The guy was the fucking jungler for their team for a while, and they went to Worlds because he's just a good macro player. I couldn't play fucking any character, right? Is like the reality. That being said, you can't build a team around macro players, right? You have to at least have like some high level of micro skill, or else you're not a pro player. You're not going to be at the level. You're not going to get tryouts. You're not going to be top on the ladder. You don't get there without those micro skills.
Yeah. To jump onto that, is like a team needs one good macro player, ideally. Mm-hmm. Like that's all they really need. Because if one person is telling your mechanical god top laner and your mechanical god jungler and your mechanical mid player, for this example, he's the support. Like if he's just telling them where to go and when and like what to do, like that team wins, because even the other team that's got four macro players and one micro player, like those solo lanes are both 0-5 by the time they start trying to do macro shit.
Yeah.
That being said, I think I think that macro matters a lot because micro is so close on these players. It's like when you get to the point where you're in the LCS, the LCK, LPL, like when you are a pro player, your level of micro skill is so, so, so close to any other pro player. And obviously there's, there's differences between like the fakers of the world, or the ghosts, or whichever top level player. Like obviously they're not the same, but ideally in a competitive league you're playing against someone who is within a couple percentage points of your skill at a micro level, and that's where the teams that have good macro succeed and the ones that don't have good macro falter. It's like even if you have five better players at the pro level, they're better by 2%, and so if your macro is better by 25%, then you're gonna win those games even though you have forced players. But yeah, I think on an individual for a player level, like micro matters more. And I think Hai is a perfect example of like, even though he had insane macro, like there's a reason that we don't see him anymore, and why like he was never, I think, in the contention of like the best mid laner.
Yeah.
Because like even though he won a ton of games for his teams that like probably wouldn't have been won by, let's throw in like a Jensen or something, like a Jensen wouldn't make like those crazy macro calls, but hey, we still see Jensen clapping lanes.
Yeah. Sweet. Our last email is, oh, thank you, Climber. No, I'm sorry. He had another part of that. I forgot. How do you play against a Fed carry? It's very difficult. Your best bet is obviously like try to pick them if you can. That's not entirely realistic. Mm-hmm. Try to pick someone and then force it into a 4v5 where they are on even ground. And then I think lastly, split push. Take the fight away from that particular carry and just try to seed anything you can without losing the game, while gaining advantages on the other side of the
map. So yeah, if they're willing to split, or a character who will, and you have someone who can at least like neutralize or slow them, that's an easy way, is to make it a 4v4 and a 1v1. Obviously if you can get a pick and make it a 4v5, if you can make a pick on that Fed person. But like the other thing is just like play characters with CC, period. Because no matter how fed your 20-0 or your 10-1 Fiora is, if they get Malphite ultimate, like, and then Malzahar ultimate, and then Skarner ultimate, like that person dies. I don't care how fed they are. But if you pick a team that's all about like crazy micro execution and you don't have CC, you're like, yeah, well, we have a Master Yi and a Kalista, like they could do so much damage. But guess what? The Fiora is just gonna run them over.
Yeah.
Because there's no CC.
Yep. Cool. Our last email is from Y-Dog, who says, hey, LeeCast, slipper sliding in with the 12th double roundtable answer for this week. It would be sick to have a weeaboo announcer pack that just says everything in cringy, broken Japanese. Bonus points if they replace the in-game music with terrible recorder meme music. For episode 238... his answer to the roundtable was Caitlyn for marksmanship. Colton's answer was Gnar for the long jump. My answer was Lee Sin for archery. And Aiden's was Wukong for pole vault.
Olympic sports,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Pick a champion to participate.
Yours is funny, though.
Mine's pretty funny, yeah?
Yeah, that's good. Dude, would we have any, like, if we were asked this again today, would you have a different answer, like an additional answer you'd want to put in?
Phelios marksman, or like whatever, the fucking skeet shooting or whatever it is.
Yeah, for real. The question was, if champions competed in the Olympics, what events would they compete in? Sorry for the 10 out of 10 email. Why dog the Vi guy?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Good answers, us from many years ago. That'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Mail at LeagueCastPodcast.com is where you can send in emails. LeagueCastPodcast.com is where you can, is our website where you can check that out. LeagueCastPodcast.com/Discord is where you can get a link to join our Discord. It's also on the widget on our homepage, so you can hit that up real quick. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardOut are where we stream. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. We'll see you guys next week for episode 456. Thank you guys for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.